We got to like that song this morning because it says the truth about each and every one of us. We are nothing but a sinner saved by grace. And if you're saved this morning, shout hallelujah, amen. Thank God for Jesus Christ, amen. Now, there's a question. You used to go around in an old milk carton, or it was a milk commercial. It said, got milk with a question mark. But I'm going to turn that around, and I'm going to ask you this morning, do you got Jesus? But more importantly, does Jesus got you? Now, I want you to know something this morning. The very first step to falling away from God is to turn away from the Bible. And how many of you would agree that we are living in a world of absolutely no sense whatsoever? I mean, there used to be a time when we had a thing called common sense, but then we got away from the Bible, and now we got no sense whatsoever. So one of the things that we can understand about the world in which we are living in is that when you leave God out, it's not long before you leave everything else that's important out. Now, I've shared with you that God has laid it upon my heart in this hour of great trauma and drama to preach about this upcoming election. And I want you to know that this upcoming election is not a choice between Democrat and Republican. Those days are long gone. You know, it's taken some time for me myself because I'm one of those old people. I know the rest of you aren't, but I'm way on up there now. And since I've got way on up there, I've had to adjust my thinking some, and I've had to come to the conclusion that, you know, Don, this election, this upcoming thing that's going to be taking place that is so important for our nation, this is not at all like the days when you were growing up. You know, we used to say, if we didn't like what was going on in 4 years, the pendulum might swing back the other way a little bit. But the pendulum can no longer swing because we've got people that this is an election between the globalist and for democracy. That's what this is all about. And the more I think about this, when you boil all of the issues that are going on in our nation and around the world down to their core, do you know what you come up with? You come up with this. We either have a biblical worldview and we believe what God has said to us in this wonderful love letter of 66 books that he has given to us that tells us the story of creation and tells us what the end is going to be like. And we either believe this or we believe the vain imaginations of man. We either believe what God has said to us, or we choose to believe the lies of man. Have you ever stopped for one moment to consider where man gets his knowledge from? Now, friend, you're either going to get your knowledge from the Bible, the book of truth, the absolute truth. Now, I know this present world says no such thing as absolute truth. Poppycock, there is. The absolute truth is found in the Word of God because it is from God, and God wrote the book, and that's how I know it's absolute truth, because I can't create nothing, you can't create nothing. He is God, and we are not. And so absolute truth can be found in the Word of God, but when you leave the Word of God out, all you've got left is your own vain imagination. And listen, there are only two kingdoms in this world in which you're going to serve. You're either going to serve the kingdom of God and run after him, or you're going to serve the kingdom of the devil and fall for him. And listen, you and I are going to serve one of those two kingdoms. There is no other way around it. And we will serve whatever kingdom we choose by what we choose to believe. And God's word teaches, and I've quoted it often, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. That's why God has directed me to preach about this upcoming election. And I started where God started. I started with Israel right there in Genesis chapter 12. That's where God starts. God starts with his people Israel, and oh, what a wonderful blessing that prayer was this morning that Brother Randy gave. We stand with Israel because they're God's chosen people, but more importantly, friend, you and I have been grafted into the branch of God's chosen people. There's a better place awaiting. It's called heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. And so listen, We began with Israel and the promise of God's blessing. And then we moved to God's value of life and whether we hold to what God values. Do you value life? Do you believe it's okay to kill a child? Do you believe that life begins at conception? These are all the things that our modern young people are being challenged with today in the schools. They're being challenged with it in society. Now listen, I grew up in a time when life was life, and a woman got pregnant, you had a baby, and we all shouted hallelujah, amen. We were excited about what was coming and the blessing that child was going to be. How did we move to where we would kill a child? I just don't get it. And then we moved on to the economy. We talked about immigration and why God keeps reminding me. And he keeps telling us, this nation was founded on the principles of the Word of God. And you need to understand that now in the school system today, they teach it's an economic view. No, our nation was founded on the principles of Scripture. They like to say they were deists. No, they were Christians. Maybe not all of them were the kind of Christian you are, but friend, they believed the Word of God, and they founded our nation on the Word of God. And here's what I believe. I believe we need God in America again. What about you? And I believe the future of America's freedom and liberty is at stake. And today we're going to be preaching on the devolution of America. Please be finding in your Bibles Romans chapter 1 verse 20, because God tells us all about it. Romans chapter 1 verse 20, when you get there, please jump to your feet, shout amen, and we'll read the scripture. Hallelujah. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Would you bow with me in prayer? Almighty God, we just thank you for this wonderful, wonderful book of instruction that you've given us. Lord, the one thing that we know about this Bible is that you tell the truth about man and you reveal the absolute truth about yourself. And Lord, every time we come to the Bible, we have to make a choice. We either believe what God is saying to us, or we become more ignorant day by day. Father, it is my hope and it is my prayer that we will believe you, that we will trust in you, that we will repent where we have not believed you, that we will ask you to help us to do better, to be better, to grow spiritually in our faith. And oh God, how I pray each and every day that each and every person here and who will listen later on the internet will read the Word of God daily. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Lord, we've got a whole lot of people in this world who are eating the bread of man. But Lord, what's really needed is necessary is the bread of truth, the Word of life, the Word of God to guide us daily. And so, Lord, I pray that you would encourage us, that you would inspire us to get into God's Word and to live it, to breathe it in and to live it out. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. we begin to think about the devolution of America, well, God lays it out for us right here in Scripture. And we're going to share a few thoughts this morning about the environment and climate change that we are hearing so much about. What does the Bible teach regarding the environment and climate change? Are we to worship the Creator or creation? What are we to believe? Václav Klaus, who was president of the Czech Republic from 2003 to 2013, stated, "As someone who lived under communism for most of my life, I feel obliged to say that the biggest threat to freedom, democracy, the market economy, and prosperity at the beginning of the 21st century is not communism for its various softer variants. Communism was replaced by the threat of ambitious environmentalism." Thomas Sowell stated, "Global warming only enables the Green Crusaders to declare at every opportunity that everybody believes the global warming scenario, except for a scattered few deniers who are likened to Holocaust deniers. The difference is that we have the hard and most painful evidence that there was a Holocaust. But for the global warming scenario that is causing such hysteria, we have only a movie made by a politician and mathematical models whose results change drastically when you change a few of the arbitrarily selected variables." If we're really going to understand climate change, this Green New Deal that we keep hearing about, do you realize we don't have to go too far back in history? We've only got to go back to 2006. In 2006, Al Gore wrote, the Washington Post reported in 2006, that Al Gore believes humans have only 10 years left to save the planet from turning into a total frying pan. In his film, An Inconvenient Truth, he predicted that the Earth would be in a true planetary emergency unless greenhouse gases were dramatically reduced. Well, this is 2024. We are 18 years beyond what Al Gore had to say, and thus we all know that Al Gore was absolutely all wet and didn't know a thing. And we are not in a planetary emergency. And all those who claim we are, well, they simply have not read the Bible. See, if you want to know the truth, you've got to go to the Bible. What does God say about the planet? Well, you don't have to read very far in the Bible. Just find the 8th chapter of Genesis, find the 22nd verse, and this is what God has to say about this earth. "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Now, friends, I am neither a scientist nor the son of a scientist. I am in the same condition as 99.9% of non-scientists in America. But I have decided a long time ago that I will put my faith in the Word of God before I will ever believe a man. You see, one thing I know about man, he's going to try to finagle things, but God doesn't. He just lays it out there so a dumb old poke like me can read it and just follow the Lord. And that's all I want to do. I want to follow Jesus. I choose to trust God before I'll ever choose to trust people. And so you need to know that the lens that I look at life through is the lens that God has given me in His holy Word. And what about you? What kind of a worldview do you have? How do you look at life? Do you look at it from what God has said, from a biblical worldview, or are you looking at it from some other type of worldview? And if you're looking at it from some type of other worldview, I can tell you, you are 100% absolutely wrong. The only thing that is right is the Word of God. Friend, if the Word of God isn't right, and the choir just sang about being sinners saved by grace, why on earth would we ever need to be saved? If we could be right and God's not right, why would we need a Savior? Now, how many of you would say we need a Savior? Amen? Well, just admitting that then lets us know that we're not right and God is right. So it's very easy. But what's really at the heart of this issue is the way we do government. Environmentalists say the earth is sacred unto itself, with human activity spoiling what should exist in its own benign state. And for these activists, the government is a powerful tool for crushing any opposition to their vision. And all of this became clear. Now, I love to study history, and I study a lot of history. And this all became clear when I was listening to a speech by Don Hodel, who used to be the U.S. Secretary of Energy and Secretary of the Interior under President Reagan. So, you know, I went back to the 80s. Discussing the chokehold radical environmentalists had placed on Americans, he noted that they had in reality little interest in clean water, clean air, and clean land. Rather, he said, they want to change the way we do government. And at the core, radical environmentalism is about control over you and especially your land. It is socialism. But do you realize this earth is not ours? In reality, the earth is not ours. Listen to what God says. Psalm 24 and 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And until our Lord returns to restore all things for his glory, you and I only have temporary use of this earth. As stewards of this earth, we're to wisely guard over what we temporarily own, but certain self-appointed watchdogs think they know better than you, the landowner, how to be a good steward. The environmental oligarchy asserts control through governmental imposed laws, regulations, and media complicit mischaracterizations, leaving you with few options for the use and development of your privately owned land. The bottom line is, they don't see the land as yours. They see it as theirs to protect, since they know what is best for Mother Earth. Sheer government power, not reason or objective data or even biblical truth or popular vote or even reality, becomes the vehicle to control, limit, and ultimately remove our human footprint. And this type of control requires no less than the conversion of our capitalist system into a full-throated, elitist-run socialist state that owns and manages everything. How many of you have heard of the name Klaus Schwab? How many of you have heard him talk about the Great Reset? That's how he pronounces it, the Great Reset. This is what Klaus Schwab says. In all of the governments of the world, you'll hear it from all the major governments of the world, they're all talking about the Great Reset, the Great Reset, the Great Reset. Do you know what that is? The Great Reset is simply this. By 2030, Klaus Schwab has said, you will own nothing and you will like it. But do you know what he's really saying? We will have everything and you keep your mouth shut. Because if you don't keep your mouth shut, you're going to be gone. This is the world to which we find ourselves living. If you don't know who Klaus Schwab is, you don't know anything about the Great Reset, go home and look it up on the internet. Friend, you need to be educated in this world in which we live. And so how we got to this point is simply described as politicization. Friends, the global warming issue is really a battle between a biblical worldview and a secular humanist worldview. Secular humanists view the world as based on evolutionary untruths. Thus, to a secular humanist mind, evolution dictates that the earth was somehow formed billions of years ago, and our climate, animals, and even you and I have evolved over time. Now, these two worldviews are in direct opposition to one another, as the Bible teaches right here in our text. You think God doesn't know the mind of a man? God wrote the Bible, and the Bible has been closed. The canon of the scriptures have been closed for over 2,000 years. And when God wrote the Bible, he wrote the beginning from the end. The Bible tells us that God, before he created anything, he looked at it all. I can't even comprehend a mind like this. He saw everything, and the Bible declares that God wrote the beginning from the end. He knew where it's going to start. He knows how it's going to end. And friend, God knew the mind of man. He says right here that professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. And boy, if God doesn't know the truth about us, certainly we are sinners who need to be saved by grace. Amen. Now, these two worldviews, as I say, are in direct opposition to one another. The truth, the biblical worldview, believes in creationism. And creationism believe that God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Creationism believes God created land and sea, plants and animals, man and woman to subdue, work, and keep the earth. Creationism believes God continues to sustain the world for his purposes. And as he's already stated, summer and winter, seed time and harvest, until the earth ceases, these things are going to remain. I like to say it this way, God's in control, and we are not. But the biblical worldview is trapped inside the walls of our churches because we lack the capacity to articulate sound science coupled with scripture, resulting in many Christians' utter befuddlement when addressing global warming. Friends, God has called Christians to creation care. In the garden, Adam was to tend to it, to care for it, to watch over it. Caring for our environment should be important to every follower of Jesus Christ because God has entrusted it to our care. Psalm 115, verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. Creation care is biblical, and we are God's stewards of the world that he has given to us. This is why Jesus said the two great commandments are love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, think about that for a moment. We got to love one another, amen? That means I can't look out for number one. I got to be looking out for you. Do you want to know why we're living in such a joyless world? It's because we do not put Jesus first, we do not put others second, and we do not put ourselves last. Do you know how you spell joy? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That's joy. And friend, that's the two greatest commandments right there, isn't it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And so God wrote in Genesis 1 and 28, God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And yet God holds the world in his hands and in his power. Can I ask you, if you are going to live forever in this world, would you please stand up right now? That fact alone lets you know this is just a temporary deal. Amen? There ain't one of us who's going to live forever. You see that cross up there? You need Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, you better get Jesus, because without Jesus there, you're off to a place you don't want to see. Yeah, I mean, you need Jesus and Jesus saves. Hallelujah, amen. I'm so glad that my mama introduced me to Jesus when I was just a little younger. I'm so glad I got saved when I was 13 years old. And I'm so glad I'm able to stand here and testify. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Jesus saves. But what is a steward? You know, Brother George likes to talk a lot every now and again. He'll say, we got to be good stewards. And I say, amen. We got to be good stewards. Well, what is a steward? A steward is one who oversees something, cares for something that is not his. And therefore, care of the planet is important to us all. Yet at the same time, people's lives are more important than the environment in which we live. Animals, birds, insects, plants, sea life, even the earth itself only reflect God's character and serve to teach us about our Almighty Creator. Listen, look again at Romans 1:20. I hope you have your Bible open. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Now read that last section with me. So that they are what? Human life is obviously very important to God. And only human life is eternal. Now listen, animals don't have souls. And I get that you all love your pets to death. But they are not going to be in heaven with you. Animals do not have souls. You have a soul. God created you distinctively different because God loves you eternally in this present earth and the environment we all know is eventually going to come to an end because God has said in the book of Revelation, a new heaven and a new earth is coming. What does this mean, that we ignore the environment and our impact upon it? Of course not. There is, however, no moral equivalence between human life and the rest of creation. So let's ask this question. Let's get right down to it. Have you ever stopped to consider, is global warming real? We hear so much about it. Is global warming real? Despite the adamant claim of the ambitious environmentalists that our environment is on the brink of disaster, there are actually vast amounts of conflicting evidence on the subject. The reason why evidence seems conflicting is that climate gauges are not always accurate. In addition, the science used to create the hyper-concern about global warming is based primarily on scientific models used to predict the rate at which the climate was thought to be changing. And these models focus primarily on human generation of greenhouse gases and carbon emissions. While providing insight, the models never provide conclusive evidence of an impending cataclysmic event caused by global warming. According to the World Climate Report, Science magazine writer Richard Kerr stated, climate modelers have been cheating for so long, it's almost become respectable. And former NASA scientist Dr. Roy Spencer said, climate models used by government agencies have failed miserably. Dr. Spencer actually analyzed 90 climate models against surface temperature and satellite temperature data and discovered over 95% of the models have over-forecasted the warming trend since 1979. Yet the ambitious environmentalists continue to spew false warnings regarding greenhouse gases and CO2 emissions. Prominent modern scientists are suggesting that global warming that appeared to be happening for a couple of decades leading up to the 1990s was not actually caused by human-generated carbon emissions and greenhouse gases. Now here's what you need to know. An overwhelming 64% of geoscientists and engineers believe that humans are not creating a global warming crisis and global warming does not pose a serious problem. Over 31,000 scientists have signed a petition saying humans do not cause global warming. Over 400 prominent scientists disputed man-made global warming claims in 2007 in front of the United States Senate. Larry Vardaman, Ph.D., in his scholarly article, Does Carbon Dioxide Drive Global Warming? Stated, The recent warming trend since about 1850 appears to be the continuation of the warming following the Little Ice Age rather than a sudden upsurge after a long period of relatively uniform temperatures. The detailed temperature record since 1850 shows a temperature decline between 1940 and 1970, which flies in the face of the explanation that a continuous exponential increase in carbon dioxide gases causes global warming, and the simultaneous record of temperature and carbon dioxide concentration in ice cores indicates that carbon dioxide concentration changes after temperature changes, not before, indicating that carbon dioxide is the result, not the cause, of global warming. Why a message like this? Just to let you know we're all fine. Just to let you know we're all just fine. And the reason that I know we're all just fine and that this planet is going to be here until God calls us home is simply this. God is in control. We are not. God wrote the book. God knew all this. Can I use a good Greek word? God knew all this junk was coming down the pike long before we ever arrived on the scene. He knew that all of us would be living at a time when all this junk would come out. And here we are, living in a day and an age that I never thought I'd see. What about you? Did you ever think you would live in a time such as this? What has happened to our common sense? Why is it that we live in a world of no sense? Or nonsense? What is the first step to devolution? You see it right here. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful. Now what does verse 21 say? But became vain in their what? And their foolish heart was what? Darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible. How many of you know that God has destroyed His creation before and brought it back? How many of you remember the flood? God wiped it out and He restored it. God is in control. And we are not. God has controlled the weather all the days of our lives. Let me ask you, have you ever controlled the weather? I mean, sometimes it rains when you don't want it to rain and you can't turn it off, can you? Sometimes, I mean, it gets hot around here. Sometimes it gets hot, and you can't turn on the cool. Who's in control? God is. Friends, at the very epicenter of where we are in our world is this. Forget all the hogwash and boil it down to this. Do you believe God? Or do you believe this world? That's really what's at stake. Listen, it don't matter what kind of government system we live in. All that matters is either you're going home to heaven or you're dying and going to hell. That's what's at stake here. The freedoms we've enjoyed as our nation, I'd love to pass them on to all the children of the world because I've lived a great life living in a free nation. But if God decides that America sins so much that our freedoms are gone, well, it still doesn't change the fact that we're only here temporary. And it does not change the fact that there's only two destinations to which we can go. We're either going home to heaven because we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God who died on Calvary's cross and shed His blood to pay the penalty for my sins so that this choir can get up and sing, "Sinner Saved by Grace." We either believe that or we don't. Now, the choice is yours. Whether it's for me in my house, I choose God. What about you? What about you? Well, Father, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. You know, God, not a finer song could have been sung in this church this morning than the one that the choir sang, "A Sinner Saved by Grace." Lord God, I just pray this morning, if there's one person here who has not fully committed themselves to the Word of God, to the Savior of the world, I pray, oh God, today would be that day. I pray they'd not be like a gambler gambling with their life, because every gambler loses. Lord, you are our Creator. You give us the air we breathe, the ability to speak, the ability to walk. Lord, there isn't anything we can do for ourselves. By your grace we live. By your grace we're saved. By your grace we'll be called home to heaven. But Lord, what about those without your grace? What about those who've rejected your grace? Oh God, I shudder to think of where they'll spend their eternity. Lord, I'm so sick of the foolishness of this world. There's some people that believe that this life is all there is, and then when you die, that's it. Nothing else comes. There's nothing after. But Lord, you even knew that would come about. And in your word, you talked about a man named Lazarus and a rich fool. And you proved that one false as well. Lord, everything that's going on in our world today, your word refutes, because your word is the absolute truth. And oh God, I pray that we as a nation would get that. I pray that we as a nation would repent and turn back to God, because we need God in America again. We need to get some sense, and we need Bible sense in order that we might have some sense. Lord God, help us. We are in a day and a time such as we've never been, and we need your help. And oh God, do it for your glory, not for ours. Father, to us belongs confusion of face, confusion of mind. But Lord, to you belongeth tender mercies, mercies untold. Oh God, be merciful to this nation. And this morning, God, as I close this prayer, I pray that if people have a care for this nation and an appreciation and a thankfulness to God for the freedoms that we have enjoyed, that we would come to this altar today and we would thank you, Father, for the freedoms that we have enjoyed, and we would implore upon you, Father, to have your will and your way in our upcoming election. And I pray if there's a lost soul here today that they'll come and say yes to Jesus before it is everlastingly too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.